Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, Fantasy Sports Today, game day. Happy to have you listening on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, on the Fantasy Sports Radio app, and on a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. So thanks for joining us. It's Mike Blewett, Scott Engel, and Jim Day. You know, guys, just to kick it off, before we get over to wide receivers, we can go back to running backs, too, if we need to. But wide receivers, we'll get to in a minute, and I'll give you some pieces of news before we get to it. But I wanted to talk about the trade deadline with you guys. Let me give you the pieces of news first. Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, I think, are both reporting Khalil Mack not expected to play today for the Bears. So for those of you rolling the Bears defense out there, picking the Bears in DFS, which they're very expensive relative to the rest of the field, you have to consider that. No Khalil Mack. Both starting tackles are out this week for Baltimore. I mentioned that. Kenny Stills not expected to play. Randall Cobb is expected to play tonight. So a few more notes. Antonio Callaway and Rashard Higgins expected to play. Callaway's been banged up. See another one. Chris Carson. Seahawks are optimistic about Chris Carson. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
They were optimistic, yeah. And then overnight it changed to game time decision.
So anyway, so that's...
Well, they're reporting again this morning they're optimistic.
So they're once again optimistic.
It's very hard to count on.
Yeah, agreed.
Carroll's always optimistic.
I have him in a dynasty league where I have him in the starting lineup, yeah. So... Okay, so
do you have Mike Davis behind him?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't. It's that dynasty league that you and I were in for years. Like, it's 45-man rosters, like guys like that.
Even if Carson plays, I think Davis, you know, can be a big part of what they do there.
Sneak.
Yeah. No, he's...
Yep, I agree. That's what I was going to get to.
They've shared carries. But the one thing, I don't want to digress too much, though, but it's really good to be back at Studio 34.
Yeah.
But for those who, you know, don't see this... Mike Blewett's the consummate professional. He comes with a folder and about 50 printouts. He looks like the CEO of Kinko's right now.
I like to look at my computer as little as I can.
Yeah.
Because I get used to the Line Up Lock live show, which is on camera. So I don't want, I still have to look down at paper, but it's better than searching around different tabs in my computer. So I have to try to organize it as best as possible. People might think I'm psycho when they see it, but it's just how I operate.
I see it as well prepared.
Well, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I appreciate your work ethic as well. So thank you for the compliment. But let's talk about
what am I just
day.
Freaking chopped liver over here?
You're the man,
exactly.
Jim. You're the man. So
chopped steak.
Let's talk about, I'll throw it to you first, Jim. Trade deadline. We obviously had a whole bunch of trades that happened. They started all the way back in the preseason, so you can include those if you like. Giants ditched a couple of guys there late. You had Carlos Hyde, you know, Apple, Damon Harrison, and then obviously the bigger ones. Demaryius Thomas goes. Golden Tate goes. You don't get to use Golden Tate this week because the Eagles are on a bye, but do you feel like anybody's come out a winner? The Raiders are terrible. We get it, but they have 5 first-round picks over the next 2 years. The Broncos felt like Courtland Sutton. They obviously felt like Courtland Sutton was ready to take a leap, but does it matter with Keenum playing the way he's playing? And then the Texans address an immediate need. They lose Will Fuller days later. Boom. Demaryius Thomas comes in. I actually think it's a pretty good spot for him, even though it's a difficult transition in the middle of the year. So I set up a lot there for you. Commentary on who you think maybe won, didn't, should have reacted and didn't.
Well, you know, out of all these trades, I actually think that the Cooper trade was the best. Going to Dallas. Look, they needed a true number one wide receiver. And while I'm not the hugest Cooper fan, he definitely steps up, in my opinion, there in quarterback play. I think he gets a better quarterback now. Dak Prescott has been playing better the last few weeks after a very slow start. I think this opens up the offense even more, helps Ezekiel Elliott out. You know, it should help out whoever takes over that number two spot, whether it be Allen Hurns or Michael Gallup. It should just free up this offense to do a little more, because defenses are going to have to respect Cooper like they really haven't had to respect any of the other wide receivers. And again, I'm not the hugest Amari Cooper fan, but I just think he opens up this field for this Dallas offense, and I like him moving forward. You know, Demaryius Thomas just hasn't looked the same this year. And, you know, while some of that is definitely on Keenum, some of that's on Thomas, too. He doesn't seem to be creating the same kind of separation he has in years past. Maybe the change of scenery will do him good. You know, going to Houston, going to Deshaun Watson, definitely an uptick in quarterback play. Kiki Kuti out again, so that, you know, Thomas is going to start today. I just have to worry about how much of the playbook he knows by now. Cooper has him that way because he's had an extra week. Golden Tate to the Eagles is one I really like. They love using their slot receiver a ton, and you know, Tate is definitely an uptick over both Aguilar or Jordan Matthews, and I expect him to do very well in that offense. I think these trades were good, but you know, the big underdog here might be Ty Montgomery. I'm not sure we see a lot of him this week, but going forward, I think he takes over for Buck Allen in that change of pace role and does pretty well. He's definitely a more exciting back than Buck Allen is.
Yeah, I'm not buying in on this Montgomery thing. I think this may hurt Alex Collins a little bit. I love Alex Collins. He runs like his hair is on fire. He's got good vision. He's got very quick feet. He's not afraid to, you know, push a defender at the point of attack. Got some good cutback moves. But I think once in like the last five games, they've given him more than 11 carries. They do like Buck Allen in a certain role. I think this makes it this a pure three-man backfield by committee, because Ty Montgomery is that big physical presence that they haven't had. I don't believe he takes too much away from Buck Allen. I think this muddies the waters. Fantasy-wise, I think Alex Collins will still be the goal line back, but he's way too touchdown dependent. You know, this is, I think from pure football perspective, the coaching staff says, okay, here's three guys that we can give you different looks with, and they like that, but we don't like it for fantasy purposes.
I think that's fair. I'm with you on the Ty Montgomery thing. I think he maybe adds some from an NFL standpoint, from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah.
It probably hurts more than anything else. Could he be more valuable than Buck Allen? Yeah, but that's not that great. That's not a great look overall anyway, to your point about touchdown dependency on all of their backs, really, because of the manner in which they shared the ball. So I would be really – I do think the Demaryius Thomas thing is very interesting. It might be a difficult transition in the middle of the year, but – it's really rare when a team loses a player like Will Fuller, who, despite all his injuries, is obviously explosive, and then immediately replaces it with a guy who's potentially going to the Hall of Fame. You know, like right. Demaryius Thomas is a very good addition. He's not exactly the same type of player, certainly not, but I think it really does help to not have DeAndre Hopkins. It sort of doesn't matter. He can get doubled, and what's amazing about DeAndre Hopkins is the amount of snaps that he's run. He's run the highest percentage of snaps in the whole league amongst flex position play, amongst skill position players. So it has to help Hopkins on some level. Just don't know exactly what it's going to look
before
like.
Before Hopkins, it was Andre Johnson. The Houston Texans were searching so long and far and wide. You know, it's like we've been through the Kevin Walters and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, always looking for like a number two receiver. And, you know, they finally get in Will Fuller on a string of 10 consecutive games playing with Hopkins with a touchdown. But some guys are just more injury prone than others.
Yeah.
It's DNA. You know, football's a violent physical game where anybody can get hurt at any time. But some guys are just more injury prone than others. That's the unfortunate thing with Will Fuller out for the season. The one thing to get with Demaryius Thomas is he commands defensive respect on the other side. And that will help DeAndre Hopkins.
I agree.
And that'll also help in terms of the locker room. If you play in a dynasty league, for a guy like Kiki Coutee to be learning and taking under the wing, but guys like Demaryius Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins
can't get on the field.
You have to like his future.
It's amazing though. There's another guy that can't get on the field. Oh. The bummer about Fuller is that his style of play, having an ACL injury, and that can affect him well into next season too, because it happened right in the middle of the year.
Always getting hurt.
So I know, and it's a bummer because I thought he was a great player coming out of Notre Dame. I liked him best of those, that trio of first round picks there. That was like the Josh Docks and Laquan
Treadwell. He's got incredible separation gear. It's almost like akin to like a young Joey Galloway.
So Jim, I'm also with you on Golden Tate. Go ahead. Jump in.
I just wanted to ask you guys a question. Am I being too cute? I'm one of the things I'm floating this week in, and I'm trying some tournament lineups, is putting Ryan Griffin in at tight end. He's back this week with Demaryius Thomas there not having a full playbook. I expect Ryan Griffin to be a huge part of this offense over the middle. Am I just being nuts here?
I think I see where you're coming from, Jim, and I know how your mind works, being a fantasy analyst and everything. I just, like I always say, it's tired, but it's true. Opportunity doesn't always lead to production. I'm digging deep at tight end in two leagues. I have Chris Herndon in the Jets. He scored in three consecutive games. The Dolphins have allowed five passing touchdowns to tight ends. Nobody's allowed more. And I really like Hayden Hurst against the Steelers.
Hayden Hurst takes a ton of snaps too.
So you're telling me I'm crazy?
I'm telling you this. I'm being tactful and telling you there's better options out there if you're digging deep.
What about Jordan Thomas?
I would even go with Michael Roberts, Jim, before I would go with Ryan Griffin.
What about Jordan Thomas? Last time out, guy had two touchdown passes. Catches.
Yeah, and the week before that, Michael Roberts had two touchdown catches, did nothing last week.
They had two or three chances. When the Lions get within the 5-yard line, they put Michael Roberts in there and they look for him.
Yeah. Okay, so let's...
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't commenting on Roberts per se. I was more commenting on, the fact that I think Ryan Griffin is Houston's starting tight end.
Yeah.
I would play him over.
Yeah, but, Jermaine Gresham was Arizona starting.
I think it's absolutely justifiable what Jim is saying because... excuse me. It's a lot to ask to have Demaryius Thomas come in and just make an immediate impact. So perhaps Ryan Griffin is part of the passing offense today against Denver. So let's get into the wide receivers. Top projected player, once again, Adam Thielen. Very high projection today against the Lions.
Oh, he's a bum.
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins comes in. We spent a lot of time talking about him so far. DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown comes in at number 3. Devontae Adams at number 4 going up against New England tonight. Michael Thomas at 5. Tyreek Hill at number 6. Robert Woods at 7, highest projected Rams wide receiver again. Julio Jones, number 8. Cooper Kupp at 9. Brandon Cooks at 10. Mike Evans, 11. Jarvis Landry, 12. Jarvis Landry, a really good secondary value in DFS. You know what, guy, it pops out to me, and I feel like every once in a while we start to forget about him, and then he's in a game where both Jim, both you and I think there's going to be some points, is Julio at number 8. And he hasn't scored a touchdown, and he's got 800 receiving yards. But people, there always seems to be a point in the season every year where people are like, yeah, Julio's great and all, but, I need some touchdowns. Well, how about today in a matchup at Washington where we think there's going to be some points? So Scott has him probably appropriately ranked at 8, but maybe this is the big Julio week last week. Remember last year he had that 50-point fantasy game? Maybe this is that type of game today for Julio.
Well, it's definitely possible. Like I said, Washington's defense has been on a trend downward, especially against the passing game. So, if he's going to do it, this might very well be the pick in a game that, Atlanta is fighting to keep in because they want to stay in the playoff hunt. It's going to happen. And I think it'd be better for everybody all around if it happens today so we could stop freaking talking about the fact that he has no touchdowns.
Scott's shaking his head, Jim.
The man is still on pace for 1,500 yards.
That's right. People take him for granted.
You don't take the yardage for granted. I mean, obviously, I've ranked in the top 10, but
best wide receivers I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, but,
I'm not talking about you, Scott, but there's still people. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's three things that are certainties in life right now. Death, taxes, and Julio Jones not getting in the end zone. Now, Washington is fourth in terms of passing touchdowns allowed. They've only given up 11, and I think it would take 10 years for Julio Jones right now to score 11 touchdowns. Now, look, tremendously talented wide receiver, but you know, look, Matt Ryan, some quarterbacks are not comfortable throwing the 50-50 ball, you know, the especially in the end zone. And Matt Ryan, it doesn't happen with Julio Jones. They get in the red zone and just like they don't connect, especially because he doesn't throw that 50-50 ball. So, look, take what you can get with Julio Jones. I'm not complaining about the 11 catches for 140 yards that you might get today. But, you know, the guy, look, I may sound a little old like this, but Julio Jones is the Beavis of fantasy football wide receivers. He never scores.
Now, the only thing I'm going to add to that, the only thing I'll add to that
take
is,
me a minute.
You know, half the time at the goal line, he's not even in the play.
Yeah.
He's on the sideline. And to me, that's just ridiculous. I agree that, you know, a lot of that is the connection. Ryan just doesn't feel he can throw those kind of balls. But to not have him on the field for that kind of play is just totally nuts and a bad coaching move as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So keep going. Cooper Kupp at 9, Brandon Cooks at 10, Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry at 12, Emmanuel Sanders at 13. Big opportunities there this week, I think. Manny Sanders has been very consistent this year from a fantasy standpoint, and now he's effectively the lead dog. Now, people will obviously say, yeah, but Case Keenum is his quarterback. I get it, but in a game like this where Houston may be trying to effectively throw the ball down the field with all those injuries to the defensive backfield in Denver, that might actually be the kind of game, Jim, where we wouldn't necessarily jump at that being an over, but the total right now is 46. You and I are talking about Atlanta and Washington because of some of the injuries in Atlanta having to stay in track meets. Could be the same thing here for Denver having to keep up with Houston with all those injuries to the defensive backfield. It's really not a place where you want injuries when you're going up against DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And now Demaryius Thomas as well.
That's right.
And, you know, what should be a game where he wants to prove them wrong. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup for sure in Denver. You know, it's not like Demaryius Thomas isn't used to playing there, so that won't affect him. But it might affect T-Hop playing in that high altitude.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. We'll come back. We'll finish up wide receivers and move over to tight ends on FST, Game Day Edition. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Rocking out on a Sunday morning, little Pearl Jam on FST Game Day Edition. And we're halfway through the NFL season. The NFL Optimizer has already produced millions in winnings for the Daily Roto subscribers, including multiple winners in the hundreds of thousands and a $1 million winner. The NBA is in full swing, and the DailyRoto.com NBA Lineup Optimizer is now available. And subscribers are crushing on a nightly basis there. So if you're hooked, you can now buy the DailyRoto.com Elite Package. It gives you access to year-round successful tools and projections that DailyRoto.com subscribers have been using to print money in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, and PGA Daily Fantasy. So when you sign up for that Elite Package, you'll get the new NFL betting tools that they've rolled out, including against the spread, money line, game totals, and player props. I was playing around on that a little bit yesterday. Pretty cool stuff. So head on over to DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium and check out what the Elite Package has to offer. If you don't have a problem with winning money year round, you're going to love it. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. So we'll keep going with wide receivers. We talked a little bit about Manny Sanders there. Julian Edelman comes in at number 14 for Scott. Juju Smith-Schuster, coming off a bad game, goes up now against Baltimore. He's still at number 15. It's right around where Juju's been for most of the year. Josh Gordon, 16. Keenan Allen, 17. Kenny Golladay, 18. I like Golladay in DFS lineups today. I just do. I was lucky enough to have Marvin Jones in one league last week when he exploded, but I kind of like Kenny Golladay today. Minnesota is getting a couple of guys back. Let me get that update. Minnesota's still missing Anthony Barr. Go ahead, Scott, while I'm looking at it.
You know, the Daily Roto is right with you. You know, they talk about how, you know, the Vikings' pass defense is underperforming as expectations in terms of pass defense DVOA.
Yeah. So just on that Lions-Vikings
plus
game,
Xavier Rhodes isn't at 100%.
That's what I was just about to say.
Does anybody realize that Minnesota, you know, has the 16th-ranked pass defense right now?
Yeah, and they're very injured right now. Yeah. We're talking about Dalvin Cook and Stephon Diggs probably being out. Riley Reiff, their starting tackle. Xavier Rhodes, Anderson Dejo are all questionable. Anthony Barr is out. So they continue to be very banged up on defense, to your point about Xavier Rhodes. I just think Golladay, I mean, they lose Tate, right? So I think it's indicative, Jim, of them, just like the Broncos stating that Sutton's ready to be the guy. We've already seen it from Kenny Golladay, but I think the Lions stated that Golladay's ready to be the guy, correct, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the thing to me was it looked more like they were fading Marvin Jones to start the season. And I fully expected him to be the one that was traded. I was a little taken aback by them traded date, but, you know, they weren't going to re-sign him at least so far next year. At least that was the talk. So, I mean, I see it from that point. But they had been fading Jones all early season. It'll be interesting to see his play come back. I actually like him today. I'm not against Golladay at all. I think both of these guys have a chance to put up some fantasy points. You know, it really comes down to whether we see Stafford throw, you know, 22, 23 times, or if we see him throw 40 times again.
And Scott, you have them right next to one another. Golladay, Marvin Jones. So you expect
play,
a
play
decent
Golladay at the end of the day. You'd be like, Golladay, celebrate.
Come on. That's a Dane Martinez.
Oh, I get enough of that Monday through Friday. That's, you don't have to keep doing that.
You don't fully credit Dane Martinez. You know, we came up with that together.
Show. Okay, it's your show. It's a Roto Experts in the Morning creation, original. Yes. As the managing director of Roto.
Yeah, but I hear it Monday through Friday from the guys on the Frenzy.
Believe me. Everybody's doing it now. It's just sweeping the nation. So DeSean Jackson.
We started it, though.
DeSean Jackson. All right. You've got appropriate credit. DeSean Jackson comes in at number 20.
I would shoot you both.
Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett at 21. Tell me that. What's up there, Scotty?
Does anybody realize?
I probably don't
right
realize.
Now that Tyler Lockett has 6 touchdown receptions in 7 games. People talk about how the Seahawks have the 5th-ranked rush offense. And they throw 50. They throw it only 48% of the time, but the efficiency is incredible right now. Tyler Lockett, you know, his upside was capped by injuries going into this year. He said he's finally healthy, and you're seeing it. Russell Wilson right now, with the way the team is running the ball, he is a play action and deep throwing master, and he is constantly finding Lockett open downfield.
However, we would concede that he is a completely touchdown-dependent player, yes?
Yeah, but look.
Oh, yes.
You may look back to 2 years ago and say you know, it's like an Allen Hurns type thing. But, you know, especially with 6 teams on a bye, ride it while you can. Because Russell Wilson, incredible efficiency. 43 attempts the last 3 games and 3 touchdown passes in every one of the games. A crisp decision maker he
Jim
is.
Jim Scott's predicting touchdowns again.
It's hard to blame him.
Wait, why did I go wrong
six out of 7 games?
Touchdowns.
I'm just saying, in general.
6 out of 7 games, he scored a touchdown. I would love to see him get a few more receptions.
Yeah.
You know, 4 games, we've seen 3 or less receptions. I'd love to see a few more.
Yeah, he's only gone over 80 yards in 1 game.
Yeah.
Right, but he has been a strong wide receiver too all season. Hasn't gone under double digits in any single week. You know, you got to expect at some point the touchdowns to regress because it's very hard to score every week in this league. Otherwise, we'd see guys with 14, 15, 16 touchdowns every season. We just don't. The fact that he has six in the first seven games kind of makes me a little leery for him going forward to have some tough matchups ahead. But right now, I mean, Russell just keeps finding him in the end zone. You got to ride him while he's hot, especially this week.
Let me wrap up the last few wide receivers and some of the names that we've been talking about. Cortland Sutton, Devontae Parker. Honestly, I don't even know what to think about that guy. I really don't. Like, of course he goes 6 for 134 when he's on the trading block, and then they don't trade him. So your guess is as good as mine at Devontae Parker. Devin Funchess comes in at 24. The last name I want to mention here, and obviously you can go to rotoexperts.com to see all of Scott's rankings, but we have to move over to tight ends here in the next minute, is Marquez Valdez-Scantling. You talked about jokingly earlier about somebody being Wally Pipped. Do you think Geronimo Allison has been moved out of that top three wide receivers and Valdez-Scantling in?
For now, it's because of health, because when he came back last week, he wasn't fully healthy. They like Valdez-Scantling. You know, he's moved into the starting lineup and is that number two wide receiver right now. And then you're talking about a high-scoring game today. So Valdez-Scantling was a guy that people forgot about and cut him. You know, I picked him up in like five leagues this past week and kept him in like another three.
Oh, like you always say to me, it's all about you, right?
Come on, fair. Fair shot. It's a fair shot. You can just keep moving on. And
fair shot from
point.
Jim, but maybe I'll answer this like Jim would. Yeah, no, I like him. You know, Jim always says that. Yeah, no. And I'm going like, is it yes or is it no, Jim? Which one is it? But real quick on Devontae Parker, It's kind of similar to Tyler Lockett, although we can be very skeptical about Devontae Parker. He said he's finally feeling healthy, but that's just for this week. But I do like him against that Jets secondary.
Finally since he was drafted? It's years.
You know what it is, though? I was reading an article in the Sun Sentinel, though. They were saying that what they used to do with Parker, and they think they made a mistake when it was like just playing him on the outside. Now they're going to try to move him around the formations a little bit more, and they think that's working better.
All right. I think I go back to my original point. Where, like, I don't know what to do with the guy. Super talented.
Yeah.
Rarely on the field. Team is probably heading south for the rest of the year. He's playing with Brock Osweiler, so a lot of mitigating factors in there. Great, and he went 6 for 134. Who played him? Honestly, so few people were bold enough to play him that it's one of those, if a tree falls in the woods, can anybody hear it situation. So Travis Kelce comes in as
the
number
one. Guy in the woods, kid.
If nobody's in the woods, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around, did I not say the saying properly? That's what it is. So anyway.
I missed that part, yeah.
Travis Kelce comes in as the number one tight end significantly. Very expensive in DFS, but for cash game lineups, he's somebody you're going to have to look at for at least a percentage of those lineups. Travis Kelce at number one. George Kittle at number two. Nice job there, Scotty. As Jim chatted me during the show, a funny anecdote on the Kittle 70-yard catch and run. He said he got turned around and he just sort of closed his eyes. Ball hit him in the hand and he caught it and he just started running. And he said he was 50 yards down the field and he couldn't believe he was still upright and running. So he saw he saw the defensive back in the big screen. It's amazing how many players track themselves on the jumbotron.
They always look up at the board after a play, but
it's a weird thing.
He said, "I just stuck out my hand in court and started running." It sounds like Forrest Gump.
So
I was running.
So he ends up getting tackled there, but then scores a couple of plays later. So Kittle ends up having a huge game, 4 for 102 and a touchdown. Gronk, we already talked about. He's at number three. Jared Cook, number four. Greg Olsen, 5. Njoku at 6. And Olsen and Njoku, let me get my list here. Olsen, Burton, and Njoku are very popular kind of mid-range DFS plays. And Scott has Olsen at 5 and Njoku at 6, Burton down at 9. You have O.J. Howard and Jimmy Graham there in the middle. Kyle Rudolph at 10. I'm pivoting a lot to Rudolph in DFS lineups this week, Jim, just because I feel like there's opportunity there. I think they'll put up some points, and I just feel comfortable with his value. Some of these other guys, as we say every week, this position at large is very touchdown dependent, but Rudolph is a guy with Diggs out that can provide a floor for you, even if he doesn't score a touchdown that isn't terrible. Make sense?
It does make sense and makes all the sense in the world, but they just haven't been using him enough to really count on. And that scares me. I know Diggs is out and, should see more play in this one. He had 7 targets last week, but still only ended up with 4 catches for 39 yards. Not going to get it done for you unless you're in PPR bonus scoring for tight ends.
I mean, he's got six games where he's got at least 4 catches out of his 8 games played. So I know that isn't anything to boast about, but if you look at some of the other guys like an Njoku or somebody like that, you get a lot of 2 for 19s in there as you start to go down through it. So
I owned him in one of like probably my most important league, though. He's been disappointing. He's not getting the end zone enough. The yardage is not there.
Yeah, but why would you expect him to be the touchdown guy with his 2 wide receivers there?
No, like how many touchdowns does Kyle Rudolph have
right now?
Yeah. I can't imagine 2. It's more than 2. Yeah.
2.
I think I would expect him.
He hasn't had one in
3 or 4. Now, I'm not expecting him to outproduce Thielen and Diggs, but when you get within the green zone, like the 10-yard line, Rudolph has always been that kind of guy.
And I understand that.
We're assuming here that he gets an uptick. I think I worry about him playing a more prominent role in that offense. Can he handle it? But Cousins has to go to somebody. They do like Treadwell, though. He does seem to take to Treadwell, though, for every year. And, what's the guy, the former Falcon? Aldrick Robinson.
Yes.
Aldrick Robinson is a guy that he threw a touchdown to. He has history with Aldrick Robinson.
2 touchdown
having,
game.
Having played with him in Washington, Aldrick Robinson could be an interesting DFS punt.
Daily Roto leaves no stone unturned. They are both mentioned, Treadwell and Robinson. Treadwell expected to see
market share. You got to start again. Aldrick, just because it's cool,
So, I mean, that is a punt, but these punt guys can win you $1 million or we always say the millionaire. We always mention the millions. Like, yeah, that's available. But it's not the only tournament available. You throw a buck
there's
down.
There's just
and
one
you win
contest
$5,000.
I love on DraftKings. Like, not enough people. I always say to them, hey, do you play the multipliers? I love the multipliers. What are you talking about? I said, there's 20, you put in $27 and the top 100 win 1,000.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. People don't know enough about the multipliers. I love
how many
those.
People are in that tournament? Any idea? I mean, many thousands.
It's more,
I'm sure,
more closed off than tournaments. I forget the exact number. And then there's, you put in $4 and like the top 100, I think like win like $100. It's like I first realized that when I was playing fantasy NASCAR, and then the multipliers were really helping me cash out. And then like I started doing it for football and everything else.
Yeah, and I think that's on me and the industry at large is
people hit tournaments. When you go on DraftKings and you're left that left rail, people hit tournaments and the cash games. They'll gloss over where it says multipliers.
I agree. And what I like to do, too, there's different ways to sort through this, Jim, and you probably know this, too. Like, type single into the search bar on FanDuel. Hey, go to NFL and type single into the search bar on DK and on FanDuel, and you'll find single-entry tournaments. And you can find a $1, $2, $5. So you're competing potentially against pros, but they got one shot, you got one shot. I prefer those.
And I like that so much more. Right there with you. I hate going into tournaments where guys are putting in 200, 250 lineups.
That's right.
Where I'm putting in 10. The odds just aren't in my favor at that point. No matter how good I think my lineup is, the odds aren't there. I love single entry leagues. And, Scott, I'll ask you, do you go into these multipliers with the same thought process that you would a large GPP? Are you looking for those outliers to go with a little value, or are you building it more like a cash game?
I don't even play cash games. To me, cash games is not enough upside to have fun, so I take that same mentality, because to me, the multiplier is almost like a mini GPP in itself.
Yeah, I get it.
You build your lineup like it's a GPP.
Yeah. I have my own pivots that I'll put into the optimizer.
Yeah, in fact, Mike Leone is one of our
answer for me.
Mike Leone is one of our experts at Daily Roto Gym too. He's basically said, I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he basically said he spends a great deal of his time really on tournaments. He's faded playing cash games almost entirely because of two reasons. One, the ROI is greater for him. When he's building good lineups, he's going to win a greater multiple of money, A. And B, he feels like maybe their edge in cash games is still good against the standard player, but a lot of the DFS industry comes together on cash. Do you know what I mean? There isn't a lot of variance on the cash games. So you're playing in cash games where a lot of guys have the same lineup. So your edge maybe isn't as great as it used to be. So everybody agrees on the chalk. Everybody agrees on the pivot. So cash games get a little bit harder to extract money out of. That's why when I'm playing in cash games, I'm doing 50-50s with 100 people. So I have 50 shots to get in there in the money. So just a little bit of strategy on my part. I don't play a ton. I just play a few lineups every week to keep in the mix and to have fun with it. So anyway, that's my little diatribe on DFS. Real quick on tight ends to wrap it up. Kyle Rudolph at 10, Austin Hooper at 11, Vance McDonald at 12, a guy that Chris Scott mentioned, Chris Herndon at number 13, Hayden Hurst, Jordan Reed at 15. Now, Daily Roto really likes Jordan Reed as a pivot off of Kelsey. Because of all those injuries that we've been talking about in Washington at the tight end position, what are your thoughts on Jordan Reed today, Jim?
He's so hard to trust at this point. Yeah. You know, Alex Smith, we all expected Alex Smith to you know, really go to him a lot, and we just haven't seen that at all. You know, coming off a decent game last week, but in a game that should have been a good matchup for him, 7 catches for 38 yards. He was targeted 12 times. And, man, it's so hard to trust him. It should be a great matchup for him today. I see where Daily Road is coming from, but he's very hard to trust.
He's flamed out in good matchups before this season. Jordan Reed has stayed healthy, but his numbers have been hurting.
All right. There you go. Not a lot of Jordan Reed love in this crew. Daily Road will be disappointed, but we'll talk to Ricky Sanders in a half an hour. Maybe he'll differ. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Okay, we're back on FST. Coming up in 20 minutes, it'll be Lineup Lock Live. Myself, Scott Engel, stick here with me. Corey Parson will come in. Sam Garnes will be with us. He's already sitting in studio, vigorously taking notes. As the professional that he is, he will be providing some insight for us. So we had a good time last week, and we'll be doing that again. And Jim, so the rest of the day, Scott Engel is like on a marathon today. Speaking of which, the New York City Marathon is ongoing right now. Our very own Chrissy Bones Cannon, as we like to call him, is running the marathon right now. I don't know when the start times are or anything, but the New York City Marathon is going on now. I took the train in with a bunch of runners getting started in Staten Island, all the way throughout the city, finishes in Central Park, obviously. So,
I was so mad.
What's that? Why is that, Jim?
Because I was planning on running the marathon today.
Oh, yeah? That's right. You trained for months and months in order to get that thing done.
Sometimes
you just gotta get on a microphone and talk about fantasy football instead of running 26 miles and. You know, that's the sacrifices we make, Jim. So good luck to Chris Bones. I hope he's out there crushing it. And he certainly raised a lot of money. He and the entire team raised $300,000 in support of cystic fibrosis and its causes. So that's a cause that I've supported for 25 years. I know a lot about it.
Lou Mayone very involved in that.
Lou Mayone, our head honcho here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at Sports Grid, which is the parent company. Very involved in that cause as well. I would say in general, I know a lot about that cause. I've been supporting it for 25 years. People that suffer from cystic fibrosis have seen their life expectancy double in those 25 years. It was, it's still a disease that causes people to pass away at a very young age, but it's been made incredible strides, and I've seen it happen firsthand. So I can appreciate that cause, and I'm glad he's doing it. So we're always up for supporting charitable causes here. I'm glad Chris Bones is doing it by running today. So here we go. We're down our final segment here today, gentlemen. We had a nice little discussion today of a variety of topics, trade deadlines, injuries. In fact, I'm going to check our breaking news chat. Adam Schefter is reporting there is serious concern about Gronk and Sony Michel going tonight. I didn't think they were going to even think about Sony Michel, but
I thought they were considering it, but then again, you never know. You know, with that questionable tag with the knee, inside injuries was saying, you know, when he went down, 2 to 4 weeks optimal recovery time. So I guess we'll see Cordarrelle Patterson more at running back. But I've already went in one of my lineups, put Mike Davis in for Sony Michel. So it's good that we're hearing about this just before 10 a.m. So you don't have to wait for tonight. You know, people already asking me on Twitter and in the Roto Expert Slack chat, you know, what should I do about Chris Carson? Should I play LeSean McCoy instead? Things like that. My motto is, when in doubt, just always go with the healthy player. Even if it's a lesser player, just give yourself the peace of mind and don't. Fantasy football owners have enough anxiety as it is. If you have a healthy alternative, just use it.
Especially you. Seem like an anxious guy. Just kidding.
But the one thing I'm going to throw in here into the mix is that we just don't know when these reports are coming from Bill Belichick. We just don't know. You know, we don't know if he's playing.
You really think he tells Schefter anything?
If he tells Mike Lombardi,
Green Bay.
If Mike Lombardi says anything, if Mike Lombardi says anything, he's
not
playing.
That's what I'm saying. He's not telling anybody is what I'm saying. Whatever he puts out there is total BS. You never know until we get to game time.
And
there's
by the way,
plenty of times where, you know, they've said a player is going to play and then they're laid inactive with New England. So you just got to be careful.
On that point, by the way, I was doing a little digging, a little reading last night. The report about Josh Gordon showing up late to work and him not starting the game originally. And then Belichick put him out there for a certain number of snaps. And Josh Gordon being coy about it. Did you read that whole thing? There's a report that Josh Gordon showed up late for work and that he was going to be disciplined, but then he wasn't. And then he said afterwards, when asked, that he just kind of avoided the question. He said, they've been very supportive here. I can appreciate them saying it. Belichick denies it, and it was one of these webs that we weave on the internet of rumors and innuendo and refuting the point and Belichick saying, it's not true. And then in the end, I sort of believe it's true. I don't know that it matters. I think Josh Gordon is, from a fantasy standpoint, I think he's going to be a nice, easy 4 to 6 catch, 40 to 65 yard.
Sometimes 100.
And he'll have a game or two where he explodes.
4 for 100, what was it, like 2 weeks ago?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he'll have a game or two like that for the rest of the year. So I think he's going to help more during bye weeks, Jim, but he can't be an automatic starter for you every week. Is that fair?
Actually, I don't think it is. Unfortunately, I too agree that he was late to meetings, and I hate to see that because we know Belichick won't put up with that. And if he starts being stupid again, Belichick will just say, okay, screw it, put him on the bench, you know, whatever. But I think it really comes into play with Gronk being not 100%.
I think that's fair.
And
yes.
I think if Gronk is out, I think Gordon is definitely in line for a bigger play. You look, this guy, when he's on the field, he's a monster at wide receiver. He's just really good at it. It's just off the field and in the head that we have to worry about him for. Once he steps on that field, he's a great player, and I can't see them not using him more and more as the season goes on.
Well, if he's active, he's a every week fantasy wide receiver 3 because he's playing a certain role now in the New England offense. In Cleveland, he was the guy, but now he's the deep threat and the red zone target. You know, let Edelman move the chains, let White catch out of the backfield. He's playing a role. It's an important role, but it's a needed dimension that New England needed in that passing game. That's why they acquired him, to be that downfield threat, sometimes the alternative red zone fade guy to Gronk. And, you know, that's what makes him he's no longer going to be a fantasy wide receiver one. That's sailed. You know, he's a fantasy wide receiver three because he plays a very important yet niche role in that offense.
With Gronk out, Edelman lines up to be a monster, too. Just an absolute monster of targets. It's not that he's not a wide receiver one every week anyway, but he could be a monster with Gronk out. So a couple of things beyond that. I know it's not relevant for this week, but Jim dropped a note in here. Bengals star A.J. Green slated to visit foot specialist Dr. Robert Anderson in Green Bay during the bye. Sources say as his toe swelled up, he could miss week 10. That is brutal.
This is why you pay attention to inside injuries when they're on this network and when they're on Roto Experts. They were the first to say that this could be something serious, and if it is, we could be looking at a four-week timetable.
That's brutal. And that will really hurt me in a league that you and I are in, the GST league. That would really hurt because my wide receivers have been awesome there, but he has been the rock of that wide receiving core. So, Jim, you had a question for Scott about the Seattle tight end scenario between Dixon and Vinette.
Yeah, you know, look, Dixon came back last week. You know, only had two catches, but 52 yards, got in the end zone. I liked him as a deep play last week, and it worked out for me. But Daily Roto this week has Nick Vinette as one of their value plays. And, you know, like we all acknowledge, Scott is really into Seattle and knows a lot about him. So I really wanted to get his take on the two of them. And why would Daily Roto be so high on Vinette this week?
I just disagree with them on Nick Vinette having a role in that offense.
Okay, cool.
really, when Dixon was out, he had an opportunity. He didn't take advantage of it at all. Dixon is a guy. Look, we saw with Will Disley earlier this year. Russell Wilson, in key situations, the best quarterbacks spread the ball around effectively. And, you know, there are plays in the playbook that are diagrammed for Ed Dixon. That's why they acquired him. And when he's open, Russell Wilson is going to hit him. He's a quality tight end, too, that you could use for a bye week.
So there you go.
Cool.
That's your answer.
Thank you. I couldn't
welcome.
See it either. I couldn't put it together one way or the other.
Vinette will score once every 7 weeks or so.
Okay. There you go. Survivor picks this week. I picked the Bears. Scotty, you like the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, the Cowboys are my survivor pick this week. You know, they play really well at home. You know, Jerry Jones is be like, God damn it, get the ball to Amari. You know, and they're gonna have more offensive balance this week. Their defense is fourth ranked against the pass, underrated. Tennessee defense is going to spend too much time on the field. I believe the Cowboys roll this week.
Tennessee's getting a bunch of points in that game, and I'll take those points, Jim. I think it's a 5 right now. So let me look it up again. I'll see where it's moved.
I got 6.5 just before the show started.
Oh, man, it moved.
Carolina given 6.5, yeah.
I'm looking at No. I was talking about, what did you say, Carolina?
Oh.
No. I meant,
I thought you said Tampa Bay, Carolina.
If I did, it was I misspoke. I meant Tennessee, Dallas. Tennessee's getting a few points there. That's 4 points that they're getting on the road. I think coming off a bye week, I think they bounce back. I actually disagree with Scott. I think Tennessee could get the win here, but I will still take those 4 points. I feel more comfortable about that. Who's your survivor pick, Jim?
Well, actually, and again, with Tennessee, I'm seeing 5 now. See, and this is something we can't talk about enough. People don't realize. If you're going to bet these games, you want to bet the spreads, don't get locked into any one site to make your bets. Look at all the different sites because you will see discrepancies from one site to another. Pick the team you want, what side you want, and then find the site that gives you the best, you know, number there that you can take and bet with them. Don't bet with the same place every time for every game. It just doesn't make sense. If you want to bet, bet smart. And to bet smart, you have to shop that bet around.
Good stuff, Jim. So who's your survivor pick?
My survivor pick of this week is going to be Atlanta. I think they go into Washington and beat Washington. Like I said, the Washington defense has been trending downward. You know, Atlanta's defense has been terrible all year just because of the injuries. But I expect Atlanta to come out and put this ball in the air a lot today. I don't think Washington's going to be able to keep up. I'm taking Atlanta for the upset in Washington.
I'll stick with you. How about a DFS lineup? You want to run through anything?
Sure, I got a DraftKings lineup. Again, this is a cash game. I still haven't gotten to the full tournaments yet. I'm getting there, Scotty. I'm getting there. But I got Goff at 6,000. I got Peterson at 6,000. I got Philip Lindsay at 5,500. I got Robert Woods at 7,000. I got Mike Thomas at 7,600. I got DeSean Jackson at 5,000. I got O.J. Howard at 4,300. I have Devin Funchess at 5,600 and the Denver defense at 2,300.
Denver defense. It's an interesting call. I mean,
Daily Roto really likes him.
That was a Daily Roto call.
Their fourth ranked defense. And again, I'll remind people again, if you're a Daily Roto subscriber, I don't only use it for daily, I use it for seasonal, especially for defenses.
Yeah, I mean, I can extract, when I have some 50-50 calls, I'll go to their lineup optimizer to see who they like a little bit better. It can sometimes push me one way or the other on some of my lineup calls and some of your lineup calls as well. It's a very good tool to use. You can, while the primary reasoning is for daily fantasy, you can obviously use some of the numbers, the expectations to make a final decision on some of the lineups. So let me go to my lineup right here on FanDuel, Jim. If you have any nuggets that you want to drop while I search my phone for my lineup, that'd be great.
Well, it's just DK values. I'll go over that real quick while you do it. Quarterback, you know, DraftKings values for me this week. Of course, Newton is big. Goff is big. Fitzpatrick, Scott doesn't really like him this week. I do. Look, every week except the week four game against Chicago, whoever's been at quarterback for Tampa Bay has been a top five quarterback every single week. Fitzpatrick last week in less than a half was a top 10 quarterback. He's going to throw the ball a ton again. Same reasons. No defense, bad running backs. He's going to throw the ball a ton. He's got great weapons all around him. I think Scott has him a little low. I like him a lot higher than Scotty does this week.
You're talking about him. I'm talking about him from a seasonal perspective. You know, with Daly, you're talking about more risk. And I think it's a nice contrarian sort of pivot in Daly. Now, in seasonal, I have less trust for him. You know, it's not like the Carolina Panthers defense has been lights out. But at the same time, the danger with Ryan Fitzpatrick and why he's bounced around the league is you will give all these great reasons why you like him, and then he will throw for one touchdown and three interceptions.
It could very well happen.
It's possible. I mean,
it's a pass-heavy offense. You're getting pretty good value on it, so I understand it. Here's where I went, Jim, and you're going to find I'm stacked up on a few games here. So I'm going Cam Newton at QB. It's a cash lineup, just a 50-50 lineup on FanDuel. Kareem Hunt and Chris McCaffrey are my two running backs there. I'm going DJ Moore to pair him up with Cam Newton. I'll take Tyreek Hill up against the Browns defense. Cortland Sutton will be a value wide receiver. I'm going Kyle Rudolph at tight end and Latavius Murray in the flex. I went Chiefs defense here. I feel like we didn't even talk about the coaching change.
Yeah, they are second ranked by Daily Roto this week.
Yeah.
So don't they get D Ford back?
Because here's the reality for that team. I think the Chiefs are going to put up a whole bunch of points today, and Baker's going to have to throw his way back into it, Jim, and that's where it could get problematic. I think him putting the ball up in the air 50 times conceivably would be obviously opportunities for the Chiefs to pick him off and turn something back into a pick six, something along those lines. Sort of what happened to Andy Dalton. That's why that game got away from him. They had to start throwing the ball, and then it all fell apart for the Bengals. And I think that could happen to the Browns today. So that's why I like that. Obviously, I'm stacked up basically on those three games, but you know, I like the lineup better in reviewing it than I did when I first hit submit entry. So I don't know, thoughts there, any of those guys that I'm using. Obviously, I need a little bit of help out of some value guys like Sutton and Moore and Murray.
Okay, well, I'll jump in on Sutton. I mean, he should see plenty of targets. There's no doubt about it. He's been that, you know, big play guy. He's shown some flash, and I like him this week. But I'll be honest, going forward, I'm not going to be at the least bit surprised if Deshaun Hamilton is the guy who picks up more work going forward than Sutton does. I just think he's a more well-rounded wide receiver. But to your thing, I love Kansas City defense this week for the reasons you mentioned and the fact that they've been playing much better over the last 5 weeks.
Totally agree. So I'm going to come back after the break. I'll be with Scott, Corey, and Sam Garns. Jim will take his leave, but he'll be back tonight for Fantasy Football Rewind with Scott Engel. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back after the break with Lineup Lock Live.